Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for your great and mighty love with which you have loved us. We give you all the praise for everything you've done for us in your Son, Christ Jesus. Thank you for the inheritance that we have. Thank you for sonship. Thank you for your Holy Spirit that you have so generously given to us. We give you praise. And Father, even as we learn more about your love and your grace today, we ask that our lives is better for it in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So we've been talking about one Christ, one story. And from the title, you know, we have been trying to run through the Old Testament and the New Testament together. The idea is to understand what story is being told in those books. It's going to be about our 8th week on this. So we've covered some grounds, okay? But we're just going to today answer some questions, all right, from the light. We're going to try to answer some Old Testament questions from the light of the New Testament, all right? So there are some things that were said in the Old Testament of the Bible, all right, that we want to try to provide a light, answers, all right, clarity to them from the New Testament, all right? And the scripture, one of the scriptures we've been reading in this series is Hebrews chapter 8. Let's pray. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 7, rather. Verse 8. Sorry, I've mixed it. Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, actually. Verse 7. Let's do verse 9. Verse 9, just to see. We're coming back to verse... You know what? Let's do verse 8. Hebrews 8, 8. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant and they disregarded them, says the Lord. Now look at verse 10. Verse 10 is important. Verse 10 is key, all right? Now, before we read verse 10, all right, what he has said before, he said he's going to make a new covenant, right? So it means that there's a covenant before that there's an existing covenant, all right? Yeah, there's an existing covenant, but he says, you know, they broke that covenant. Now, he said he's going to make a new covenant with them, all right? Now, he said this covenant he made with them when he took them out of the land of Egypt. Now, I want us to look at the component of this new covenant. All right? So he said he's going to make... So, for example, Imani, if I said, So you have that book before. All right? I said, I'm going to give you a new book. All right? All right? So if I say, please pay attention. If I'm going to give you a new book, that this book, I will not deal with this book again. But I'm not taking your Bible, but I'll give you a new book. All right. Now, he said, and now said, in this new book, all right, let's see, in this new book that he said, now is a covenant, okay, is an agreement, is a relationship. Let's see in verse 10 what we can see in the new book, all right, in the new covenant, verse 10. Look at it. So he said, for in this new covenant, all right, that I will make, it says, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel in those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. And I will be their God and they shall be my people. All right? Verse 11, still part of the new covenant. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For, now look at that bit, for they shall all, for all shall know me. All right. So let's go back to our book analogy. All right. So if I say that it's, Ebane, I want you to answer this question. Let's answer this question together. Okay. So if I say that I'm going to give you a new book and that in this new book, you will know me. All right. Can you know me in that book? No. Where will you know me? In that book, in the new covenant. All right. So people that are reading that old book, will they know me? They won't know me because I've said it is in this new book that they will know me. You get the point? So it's in the new covenant. All right. I hope that analogy makes sense. So it's in the new covenant that we know God. All right. And yet, you know, there's a lot of stories in the Old Testament that we have carried forward. We've done what we call cross-testamental application that is not applicable. All right. So we've carried some knowledge, some practices, some things that were said, that were done in the Old Testament. All right. We've brought it here in the New Covenant, whereas God said, hey, that's nowhere to know me. It is in the New Covenant that you know me. Emphatically so. All right. So there is no shadow. There is no type. There are no figure, you know, clearly like for like. All right. It's in the new covenant that you know me. All right. So what we're going to do today is just to answer some questions, like I've said. All right. There is something that was said in the old book. All right. In the old covenant. I want us to read it. We just want to answer some questions today. All right. So we'll be able to answer those questions together. Exodus chapter 20. Let's go to Exodus. So now let's, before we go on, just for clarity purpose. So the old covenant will be the Old Testament. All right. And the law. All right. And the men that lived under it. All right. And the New Testament will be the new covenant that God will make with the house of Israel in you know, by extension and by identification, by, you know, to the new believer or with the new believer today. All right. So you and I now live in the New Testament today. That's the law by which we operate. But let's see something that Moses said in the Old Testament. All right. Now we've covered some grounds before now that I please want to encourage us to listen to. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Don't forget, so no, before we move forward, all right, can you, so what did we say about the old covenant? Help me. Sorry? We can't know God, all right? We can have some bit of idea, but we cannot fully understand God or know who God is from that covenant, all right? Can we agree on that? Can we agree with that? Right? Right. So one more question. I just want us to bring this down. Who are the men? I want us, can you please give me examples of the men who lived under the old covenant? We have them in our Bible. Sorry? Jacob. Thank you, sir. Moses. Yes. Joshua, Imani, anybody from the Old Testament that you know? Abraham, thank you. Uzziah, Lucia, any attempt? Anybody from the Old Testament?
Someone say Abraham.
Yes, already. We have a lot of them. Elijah, Elisha, David, Solomon, Saul, a lot of them. All right? But see what the Bible says. It says all of those guys, all right? He says, hey, they read the old book, so they cannot really understand me very well. But yet, those men, I made us to mention their names so that we can I can land my next point. Those men wrote some things about God. All right? And yet their knowledge about God is limited. All right? Now, we're not saying what they said is wrong. We're just saying it's limited. Praise God. All right. So let's see one of the things. Do you know that in all of the writings of Moses, all right, in all of the writings of Moses, he didn't spot any devil. All right? There are so many things that he did not tell us. All right? But yet he wrote about God. They are correct, but we cannot get the full extent of God doing that. Let's move very fast. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5. Let's see one of the things that he said about God. Thou shalt, you know, we're talking about God here. He says, you shall not bow to them, nor serve them. All right? See what he said about God. He says, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands and to those who love me and keep my commandments. Did you see that? So he said that God, he painted God as showing, as visiting the iniquity of the fathers on their generations after them. Did you see that? All right. So he said that he visits the iniquity of the fathers upon the children. But then, is that the way God really operates? Does God really do that? Because that's where many people now have seen generational curses. All right? That's where people have seen generational, all right? But then, is that true? Does that really, is that the way it works in the new covenant? Or before the new covenant, is that the nature of God? All right? That, you know, if when we offend God, he visits it upon the generations after. All right? We're going to see other parts of the scripture because the revelation knowledge of God is progressive. It's progressive, all right? Like we studied in time past, their knowledge is limited. It was a portion at a time, and it continues to grow and increase, all right, with time. Now, let's see some more. So Moses wrote this, but years after, we begin to see that they begin to correct themselves. The men of the Old Testament even corrected themselves, all right? Because God is merciful. Let's read Ezekiel. Ezekiel, Ezekiel will come after, right? Ezekiel will come later. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel 18. Verse 1. Ezekiel 18, verse 1. I read quickly. It says, the word of the Lord came to me again, saying, what do you mean when you use these proverbs concerning the land of Israel? Saying, the fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on the edge. See what it says. As I live, says the Lord, you shall no longer use this proverb in Israel. Did you see the point? All right. Verse 4, look at what it says. It says, behold, all souls are mine, and the souls of the father as well as the souls of the sons are mine. What did he say? The last bit. Let's read it together, please. The soul who sins shall die. Did you see the point? All right. Now, is that a correction to the earlier verse that we read, that God visits the iniquity of the father upon the children, upon the generation? But we are getting some correction here after time that, hey, that is a misrepresentation of God. Can we agree on that? All right. So we're getting to see here that it is the soul that sin that dies. Let's see verse 20. Verse 20 again of that, Ezekiel 18, 20. Let's read it again. The soul who sins shall die. The soul, look at it, the son shall not bear the guilt of the father, nor the father bear the guilt of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon himself, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon himself. Is that clear? All right. So even from the Old Testament perspective, can we clarify that God doesn't visit the evil of the father upon the generations after them? Can we agree with that? All right? Because it's important for us to know. All right? So why are we studying this? It's helping us to know how God works. God is telling us that, hey, it is the soul that sins that die. All right? So it means that the iniquity of the father, all right, as far as God is concerned, it stops with that father. All right? It is the, because we've read here, all right, that it is the soul that sins shall that will die. So that's a correction there. All right? Then if you now come to the New Testament, all right, you will see that, you will see what Jesus said about God. Bible says, talks about God that is a good God. He said no evil can come from God. All right? He says that there's no shadow of turning in him. All right? He says that he gives good gifts to people that, you know, to those that ask him. That's what we read about our God. Hallelujah. So it's important for us to have that understanding. All right? So God doesn't visit evil of the father upon the generations after them. Right, we've read it here. All right, Bible says that this proverbs has been said for a long time in Israel. What did it say after that? It says it will not be used anymore. All right, why? Because a better light came, a better understanding of who God is came. All right, and now we don't use that to represent our God again. Praise God. Now let's answer another question. All right, now what led us to this? We said the men of the Old Testament. All right. We said their understanding, their knowledge of God is limited. It was in portion. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, Bible says, in sundry times, in sundry times and in different occasions, diverse occasions, God spoke to the fathers, all right, in a portion. He spoke in portions. He spoke using diverse times, all right? And Amplified says that all that God said, it was a portion of the truth. A portion, just a part of the truth. All right. So all of the understanding of the Old Testament, we need to put it in context. All right. And it is in the New Testament that we get the full picture. Someone will just read Exodus and run with it. That God is, no, you've not read because it was a portion at the time. That was the knowledge that Moses had. All right. But Ezekiel after time, all right, we throw a better light that it is the soul that sin that will die. All right, but even with our Lord Jesus Christ and in the New Testament, we now saw that he's a faithful God, he's a good God. There's no evil. The Bible says it cannot be tempted with evil and does not tempt anyone with evil. Hallelujah. All right, so we get a better light of who God is, in the New Testament. Let's see another questions. Sons of God or Son of God, who do they call? All right, I want us to see who they call Son of God in the New Testament. In the Old Testament. Then we're going to correct that understanding, all right, in the New Testament. Job chapter 1. You know, we've talked about Job earlier in this study. Job chapter 1, verse 6 and 9. Job chapter 9, chapter 1, verse 6 and 9. Can someone please help us read verse 6 to 9 rather? Look at that. Who came to present themselves?
Sons of God.
Okay, let's go.
Came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan also came among them.
Praise
the Lord. Said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job?
All right, that's fine. You know, I think verse 6 is the call there, all right, where they've referred to some people as the sons of God. Okay? All right? Now, Job chapter 1, verse 6 particularly, all right? There's the sons of God gather. Now, please pay attention now. Look at it. Daniel chapter 3. Let's read Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Verse 25.
He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hearts, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God.
All right. So, You know the story of Shadrach, you know, Abednego. What's the name of the other guy? Meshach, right? Now, look at it. They were thrown into fire, but someone appeared in the fire with them. And Bible says that that looks like the Son of God. All right? The Son of God. But then if you come to verse 28. Let's see whom Nebuchadnezzar called that Son of God. Please read verse 28.
Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word, and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god, except their own God.
So, who appeared with them in the fire? It was called the Son of God. All right? But here, we see them referring to this person as an angel. We're going to clarify this light better. All right? So, be referred to as an angel. All right? Now, it's a common practice in the Old Testament. All right? It's a common practice in the Old Testament that they refer to angels as sons of God. All right. They even at many times they refer to angels as the Lord. They call angels Lord. All right. But then I don't want us to take that understanding for it. All right. Because people will just go through the Bible. It's called angel here, or it's called sons of God here. And we apply that knowledge where they've called angels sons of God. All right. We now bring it to the New Testament and say, oh, angels also, they are sons of God. All right. We will examine it with a full truth shortly. But I want us to see one reference. All right. We have many references in the Old Testament where they refer to angels as Lord, where they worship and all of those. All right. We're going to see whom is called sons of God. Genesis. Now we want to see. I'm going to answer those two questions together. Sons of God and the Lord. Sons of God and the Lord. Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19, verse 1 and 2.
Now the two angels came to Sodom in the evening.
So who came to Sodom in the evening?
Two angels.
Okay, yeah, please go ahead.
Sitting in the gate of Sodom.
Yep.
When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground. And he said, hear now, my Lord.
Okay. Did you see the point? All right. He called the angels lords. All right. Now, some people say, oh, but Lot called some angels Lord. But we're going to see a better light, a clearer light in the New Testament, that is the fuller light, whom is called Lord. All right? And we're going to put the angels in their proper place. Praise God. Let's now read Hebrews. Don't forget what we're doing. So what are we doing today? We're asking some questions in the Old Testament. We are seeing some of the sayings, some of the practices, some of the understanding, the display of the understanding of the men of the Old Testament. All right? And we are now coming to the New Testament to answer those questions, to put them in the proper light. Who are called sons of God? All right. We've seen that in the Old Testament, in Job, in Daniel, they refer to angels as sons of God. Is that true? Let's see in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5.
Said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
Now, did you get that argument? All right. Now, if you read from there, it's been talking about Jesus Christ. He was made better than angels. He's the express image. Is the brightness. In verse 3. He says that it's the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. All right. He was talking about Jesus Christ. Now, see, He now began that debate, that argument. He now said, unto which of the angels did he call his sons? Did he say to him at any time? So who is calling who what matters? All right? We are seeing here that God never called angels his sons. All right? He said, at any time. All right? Nebuchadnezzar can say it. Job can say it. Daniel can say it. You know, what's his name? Lot can. All right? But we're going to say, God never called them my son. That's what we're reading here. All right? He said, which of the angels at any time did God say, you are my son? Today have I begotten you. I'll be a father to you. All right? Please read on in verse 6. We are reading the old chapter. Please read on, ma'am. Yes.
He said, and let all the angels of God worship him.
So he says, let all of the angels of God, the person that Lot was worshiping, that bowed down that they called Lord, actually, they were all supposed to worship the Lord. Okay, look, it's going to come to us shortly. Okay, read on, ma'am.
And of the angels, he said, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire?
Yeah.
But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, had anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
Please read verse 13, ma'am.
But to which of the angels said at any time, sit on thy right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool?
14, please.
Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?
Did you see the point there? He was talking about angels there, all right? He says that those angels, they were actually sent to be ministers. Ministers there means to be servants, all right? So angels, they are meant to serve us as believers, as children of God. All right, now let's put it better. Let's use the word here as heirs of salvation. All right, so if you see Angel Gabriel and all of those that sings, no, all right, they are meant to serve us. All right, again, it shows the knowledge. Again, like we said, this knowledge is progressive. Lord will see those angels and we bow to them, calling them Lord. All right. The same thing happened to John in Revelation. He bowed, but the angel will quickly correct him. No, I'm sent to help you. I'm your servant. I should be worshiping you. All right. So we don't do angel worship. All right. That, we sing praises to Angel Gabriel, Angel Michael, Angel, Holy Gabriel. We don't do that. All right. Because the proper knowledge will show us that, you know, that they are meant to serve us. We are the heirs of salvation. Hallelujah. And the angels, they are not lords. All right? Jesus is the Lord. All right? Jesus is the Lord. I want us to find that place in Acts chapter 3, where it says, this Jesus that you killed, God has made him both Lord and Christ. Please let me find that verse quickly. God had made him both Lord and Christ. Is it the same Jesus in his name? Principle of life. Okay. Is Acts chapter 3 or is it Acts chapter 3 or 2? 236. Thank you. 236. Please help me read if you're there, ma'am.
Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ.
So, who made Jesus Lord and Christ? So, who is the Lord?
Jesus
is the Lord. Who is the Lord? Owner, possessor. All right? So, was Lot right? Well, let me ask that question so that we don't say Lot was wrong. Okay? So, it's not consistent with the understanding of God or with the knowledge of God to refer to angels as, they are not lords, they are not sons of God, all right? They are angels, they are ministers to us that are heirs of salvation. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, there's another common saying. I just want us to move now quickly. All right. So the sons of God is defined, is that's how they defined the sons of God from the Old Testament, but we have a better understanding. Now let me clarify something to us. We have the scripture. When we say the Holy Scripture, what do we refer to as the Holy Scripture? Malachi, all right? Genesis to Malachi, all right? We're going to look at that next week. We will get to know that Matthew to Revelation, they are the revelation of the scripture. They are the explanation of the scripture, all right? So they are part of the scripture, but what they do is to explain the Holy Scripture, Genesis, Exodus, up to Malachi, you know, and the practices and the events of the Old Testament, all right? You will see that the revelation, know that in that Old Testament, the knowledge there is limited. Hence, he said, in this new covenant, all right, in this revelation, you will know me. All right. So it is in the revelation of the scripture that we get to know who God is. Hallelujah. All right. That's why I want to encourage us. Let's focus. Let's dwell more on that revelation. Hallelujah. We should get a hang of it. The reason we pray, the reason we serve Jesus, the reason we give thanks, the reason we come to church, we can never get the full length of it from the Old Testament. No. All right? We get the essence of our thanksgiving, of our prayers, of our service, of our relationship with God, of faith. We get the essence of it in the New Testament. All right? It is with that understanding, therefore, that we go back to clarify what they are saying in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. All right? So we can say that we can help Moses to understand what he meant. All right? So we'll say Moses was wrong, but his understanding was limited. The portion of what he had was limited. All right? So we can help Moses, quote and unquote, understand what he meant. Someone say, oh, are you not changing the scripture? Well, we have a better light in retrospect now to understand what they are saying. Hallelujah. So we are not changing the scripture. We are just applying it correctly. Hallelujah. Because we have the revelation of the scripture. Let's another scripture quickly. Where he says, you are gods. It was a big revelation at some point. All right. Do you not know that you are gods? Is that true? All right. Because you will get to know that where that understanding came from will be again from this Old Testament. All right. And the men that, you know, that. Now, let's clarify that. We're going to read scriptures now, okay? We're going to read scriptures now before. But don't forget what we've said about those men. We are not disputing what we are saying, what they are saying, or what they've said. We are just helping to put it properly with a better understanding of what we have in the New Testament. So let's see. Because now, let's put a disclaimer. Jesus himself actually said, you are gods. All right? So let's go to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 34. Jesus answered them and said, pay attention to this, all right? So, because this is a study now. Jesus answered them and said, is it not written in your law? I said, you are gods, all right? He's talking to them that it's in your law. Notice, we're going to read, this is coming from Psalm 82. We're going to read Psalm 82 now, okay? Now, look at it. Notice what he said in verse 35. If he called them gods, he referred to them as gods, not us as gods, all right? To whom the word of God came and the scripture cannot be broken. Now, what we can do, all right, what we can do very well is to go back to where Jesus referenced. Is that not what? So if you say, oh, Audrey said, so I want to go, where did Audrey say that? So maybe Audrey is not here. 2020, whatever. Audrey said, I want to go back to where and see, maybe I misunderstood Audrey. Maybe something. So let's go back to where that was said. Psalm 82, verse 6. Psalm number 82, verse 6. Psalm, where's my psalm? Psalm 82, verse number 6. So what it says, I have said, you are gods. And all of you, notice that God did not quote, sorry, Jesus did not quote that last bit. All of you are children of the Most High. All right? But then, if you look at it closely, look at it closely. Look at that word are. The word you are God. Look at it. If you're using a good Bible. No, apart, no, not the gods, the word are. A-R-E. How?
Or you say you are gods, like you are God's own.
No, say you are gods, plural. Many gods.
Okay.
All right? Gods. That's what he's saying. Look at it. Gods. All right? There's no apostrophe to make it possessive. So it's plural. Okay? Now, have you seen that R? If you are using King James Version or New King James Version, all right? How did he read in yours? Sorry?
It's italicized.
Okay. All right. So, I want to be Lucia. Why did I forget your name just now? Huh? You need to be. Did you see that R is italicized? Is slanting? All right. And what we've said with those words is that they are added in the manuscript that was translated. All right. That word R is not there. So what if you read it without that word R, how will it read? You gods. All right? So he's not calling them gods. He's saying you guys. All right? You people. You gods. But then that's not even the end of that study. I want us to read it better. Okay? Isaac, what's making you chuckle? Now, I will tell you the story of that chuckle after, all right? It will be myself and Carrie's mom, all right? I will tell you the story behind. Are you chuckle? I will tell you the story later on, okay? Now, so let's see gods, all right? Now, what we're going to do is just to read it in context, okay? Let's start reading from verse 1. Is that not how to read? Because if you take it from the middle, then you won't get it. So let's go to chapter Psalm 82, verse 1. Please, we are reading down, all right? And we can see, we'll be able to pull understanding from there. So let's read on.
God stands in the congregation of the mighty.
So there's a God who stands in the congregation of the mighty.
He judges among the gods.
Oh, look at it. So God stands now, is judging among the gods. Correct? Now, he will now begin to clarify who. Now, from the gods that is judging, from what God is saying, we can pick from who those gods are. Praise God. We can pick. He says, let's read on, Debs. Please read on.
How long will you judge unjustly and show partiality to the wicked?
Now, these gods, who are they? From we're going to read on. It's going to be better. Look at verse 2. How long will you judge unjustly? He's talking to the gods. He's judging the gods. From maybe it's too early to form an opinion. All right? You show partiality to the wicked. Now, let's read on.
Defend the poor and fatherless.
Mm-hmm.
Do justice to the afflicted and needy.
Mm-hmm.
Deliver the poor and needy. Free them from the hand of the wicked. They do not know, nor do they understand. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are unstable. I said, you gods.
Okay. Did you see the point now? Now, we're going to read on. But who are these people? Does that not suggest that they are judges? Right? They are judges. We are going to read other scriptures. We are not going to form our opinion here alone. All right? So these are men. I'm just trying to save time, Debs. All right? These are men who judges matters. So these are men. So that word judges, now, good enough, it's the same word theo. All right? But it is, they are judges. All right? You can see how it's being used here, that they are judges. I need us to be very fast, quickly. All right? Now, let's read. So these are judges, we've said it. Exodus chapter 4. Let's go to Exodus chapter 4. Exodus chapter 4. Verse 16. Please let's be. Exodus chapter 4, verse 16. I read quickly. All right. So God was talking to Moses here. he was talking to Moses about Aaron. So it shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you. All right, that's Aaron. And you shall be to Aaron as God. That word there again. That's why it's not too safe to just go with translations. Many translations make this as a capital. We're going to see something. Others will make it as a small g, but here is a capital, but it is not God of heaven. Now, let me ask you a question. Moses, being a God to Pharaoh, does that mean that Moses should be worshipped? No, definitely no. All right? It's only the God of heaven that we worship. All right? So, here is a judge. You will give him judgment. Was that what Moses did? That was all he did at the end of the day. It was through Moses that God judged Pharaoh. All right? Let's see some more. We're going to see some more in Exodus. So it doesn't mean that he should be worshipped. Okay? Exodus 21. Exodus 21, quickly. Exodus 21. We're trying to know, are believers, are we God? Are we truly, truly God? I'm taking us to a New Testament application of this. 21:6. Exodus 21:6. Okay. Then his master shall bring him to the judges. That word judges there is that same word translated as God. Did you see the point? All right. So that word there, all right, judges is the same word translated as God. So you can see the application that there it is called judges. But then there's more light. Let's go to 22, Exodus 22, verse 9. Exodus 22, verse 9. What are we answering? We've answered the question of sons of God. Our angels, Lord, we've clarified that. Now we are talking about gods, that you are God. We are trying to see here that these are judges. These are men who judges among God's people or among the people. Look at it. Exodus 22, verse 9. I just want to see the usages of that word. For any kind of trespass, whether it concerns an ox, a donkey, a sheep, and all, okay, or any kind of lost things which another claims to be the cause of both parties shall come before the judges. Did you see? So that word there is the judges, ruler of the people. All right? Let's verse 28 of that scripture. 28. Go to verse 28, please. Are we in verse 28? Look at it. Again, it continues. He's talking. He says, you shall not revile, meaning you will not beef. You will not be angry, all right? The gods, nor curse who? The ruler of the... Did you see how that word God was used in the Old Testament? All right? So, it says, you will not... you will not be angry, giving them instruction. You will not revile, all right, the gods, nor curse the ruler of the people, all right? So it's very clear, all right, in the usages of the Old Testament, all right, even in the usages of that men are not God, all right? Men are not God. But let's come to the Old Testament. First Corinthians, let's hear Apostle Paul. Let's see what he's got to say. First Corinthians, you know, someone say, oh, God is the big God. We are the small God. This New Testament does not refer to believers that way. It refers to us as redeemed. It refers to us as sons of God, children of God. It refers to us as, you know, saved, those who possess the Holy Spirit. We have so many names for us other than God's. Let's see some understanding from the New Testament. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians chapter number 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. Please, can you help me read if you're there?
As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols.
Okay.
We know that an idol is nothing in the world.
Okay.
And that there is none other God but one.
How many God do we have? Did you see the point? All right. Now, those other things that call themselves gods, how does Paul refer to them? Is there? Idols. Thank you. Idols. All right. We are not idols. There's only one God. All right. And it's the God of heaven, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. All right. So how did we come to that understanding? True study, putting it in context, and again, we've seen in clear light. Then again, you will never see it in anywhere in the epistles, in the revelation of the scripture, where believers are referred to as God. It may have been said there, but we know what happened to those men, all right, that the knowledge, the revelation of whom, of God that they have is limited, all right? So we need the light of the New Testament to clarify that. Hallelujah. We need to run quickly now, all right? Now, we're going to read a lot of scriptures as we close. So we've answered that many questions now. Sons of God, all right? That angels aren't sons of God. Hallelujah. That the Son of God, there's only one Son of God, all right? And that's Jesus Christ, our Lord. But by extension today, we are sons of God, all right? And we've explained that, right? We need sons of God. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God, all right? But because of his death, and of his burial, all right, when he rose again, Bible says he rose again, he became the first fruits, all right? Now, by identification, we become sons of God. Jesus became the first, the first begotten. Yeah, sorry. Jesus was the only begotten, all right, Son of God, but now we became the first fruits. How did you put that? I'm mixing it now. So there's the only begotten, and there's the first begotten. Is that what we use though?
No, that's not what we use.
No.
It was only begotten and the first.
We know we are the prototype of that one. But
yeah.
That name.
First fruits, first begotten, first. Anyway, we need to go and listen to that study and pick. So there's the only Son of God, all right, and there's the first begotten. I think it's first begotten. That is the first begotten, really. There's the only begotten and there's the first begotten. First begotten because he was begotten from the dead. All right? He became the Son of God when he rose again and by that is the prototype and we followed suit. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now let's just look at some more. The law. Did the law produce salvation? Did the law or can the law, the men under the law, were they saved? That was one of the questions I was asking this morning. Let's just quickly answer that because of our time. Hebrews chapter 26. I've got just two more questions that I want us to answer in 10 minutes. Did the law produce salvation? Matthew chapter 26, verse 28. Matthew 26. Matthew 26, verse 28. I read, he said, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. All right. So Jesus Christ at this point in time will say that his blood will be shed for the remission of sin. Hallelujah. All right. So the men who lived before Jesus Christ, and particularly who lived under the law, all right, there's no way before now that their sins will have been forgiven. All right? Right? Praise God. Because Jesus Christ at this point now is about to shed his blood. Let's read some more. Some more. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 1 to 4. Which question are we answering now? Yeah. Are they saved or can the law produce or did the law produce salvation? Let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1 to 4. Please, if you're there, just help me read. Hebrews 10, 1 to 4.
For the law having a shadow of good things to come.
Yes, sir.
And not the very image of the things. Can never without those sacrifices, which they offered year by year, continually make the commands thereunto perfect.
Now, hold on, sir. We are going to continue, sir. Is that emphatic enough before you read on? It says can never. It says the law can never. Never mean not, may not, or it says it can never. All right? Read on, sir.
For them, would they not have ceased to be offered?
All right?
Because that the worshippers once purged should have had no more conscience of sins. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again. Made of sins every year.
Now look out, look, it's about to read the answer. Of course, the answer is already there. But look at verse 4. It's very emphatic. Okay? Go on, go ahead, sir.
For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins.
So when they say it is not possible, what does it mean it's not possible? It's not possible. So the men who lived under the law, now I'm not talking about the saints of the Old Testament. There are saints of the Old Testament. Those ones did not live under the law. We're going to talk about them now. But the men who lived under the law, who practiced the law, Bible says it is not possible for that law to take their sins away. Hallelujah. Amen. Very straightforward and clear. Hallelujah. Let's read, I will read this, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, because I want to read the Amplified version of it. That's why I'm going to read it. All right? Hebrews 7. 25. Therefore, he is able, that's Jesus Christ, all right? So it is Jesus that is able to save to the uttermost. How is he able to save? Completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, all right? Those who come to God through him. So how do we come to God? Through Jesus. Since he is always living to make petition to God and intercede with them and intervene for them. All right? So it is Jesus that is, it is through Jesus and not through law that salvation is secured. That would say that there's no name under heaven that is given through which a man can be saved. All right? So salvation is in Jesus. Salvation is in the finished work of Jesus. Salvation is in the conquest, the victory of Jesus over death and over the works of the enemy. John chapter 10. Let's read John chapter 10. John chapter 10, verse 28. John chapter 10, verse 28. Apparently Jesus was saying this as a promise. All right, it was promissory here. He's not dead here and he's not resurrected here yet. But this is what he said. He said, I will give unto them eternal life and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. He says, my Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one, in fact, is able to snatch them from me. So did the law produce salvation? No, clearly no. John 3, verse 16. He says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes will have everlasting life and will not perish. Hallelujah. Now, let's just take some quick time to answer the men of the Old Testament. No, not, I'll put that better. All right, because men of the Old Testament are putting all of them together. The saints of the Old Testament. All right. I want us to read something about them quickly. And because we are wrapping up this study next week, all right? We're just going to wrap it up next week and pack it, come back to it later on. We're going to study the law and the prophets, okay? Later on. But let's look at it. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. Today we're just answering questions, right? From the light of the New Testament. And this all that I was talking about, it started from verse 3. Is that verse 3 or verse 4? All right, started from Abel. Let's just look at them. All right, started from verse 4. It talked about Abel in verse 4. It talked about Enoch in verse 5. It talked about Noah, all right, in verse 7. Abraham, all right. And it talked about Sarai. It talked about, you know, all of these men. Moses, talked about David. It talked about so many people, all right? Isaac, Jacob, now, Joseph, Moses, and all of those, okay? Now, see what is said about them. So those are the saints, the men who lived by faith. So God gave them a promise. And, you know, last week on the upper, we said that I was discussing with Deborah today that the length of time that mankind lived without the law is more than the length of time that mankind lived under the law. All right? Because we need to start about with this man. Go to the internet. What's the space of time from Abel to the giving of the law? All right? And ask the giving of the law to Jesus' resurrection. It's just a simple research, all right? That space from Abel to Moses giving the law is about 2,500 years. From the giving of the law to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 1,500 years. So we have men that believed, and we call them the saints of the Old Testament. But let's see, what about them that is not perfect? Because we're going to read it now. Verse 39. And this all, it talked about all of these men that we've read about that did great things. They believed God. They trusted Jesus. God's promise that he was going to send a Messiah and all. But see, he says, and all this, having obtained a good testimony. Again, that word obtained is not the case that they received. It's that they were given. They were testifying. All right. They were preaching a good testimony through faith. See what happened. He says they did not receive the promise. What else? What promise? Verse 40. God having provided something better for us. All right? So he said God provided something. What's that something? What's that promise? All right? That they should not be made perfect apart from us. Hallelujah. So what's that promise? Let's quickly look at it. What is this promise? All right? In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12 to 15, 12 particularly says that through faith and patience, that they waited for the promise. So what promise were these people waiting for? Jesus will tell us in, I've got a couple of scriptures that I want us to read quickly. Will tell us in Luke chapter 24. Luke 24. Let's go to Luke 24 quickly. Luke 24. Luke 24 verse 49. Luke 24 verse 49. Jesus will now say, don't forget, we've read that they could not obtain that promise, all right? And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, all right? So Jesus now is saying, oh, I send this promise upon you. What do we have that made us better than them, or that made us, you know, that they don't have, that they did not have, that they had to wait to have? Like, see now, Jesus is saying that I send the promise of my Father to you. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It's very, we are going to start getting some clue now. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. I'll read quickly. He says, and being assembled to them, assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise, this same promise that Abraham, of course, let me not preempt it, all right, of the Father, which I said. Now look at it now in verse 5. There's a clue there, all right? For John truly baptized with water, all right? Still talking about the promise, all right? But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. All right? So it says, we shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. So we can pull out there that the promise, all right? We're going to read more scripture now. I just want to make the conclusion and read more scriptures, about two or three of them. The promise that we have is the Holy Spirit. We now today have the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's the promise of the Father. And you know, this Holy Spirit is what makes for eternal life. All right. The reason we will have eternal life is the presence of the Holy Spirit with us. He doesn't leave, and that's what makes the man live forever. Hallelujah. So this man, we have to wait. All right. In Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. All right. They had to wait. All right. And when Jesus Christ now resurrected, all of these men of the saints, let's put it better, the saints of the Old Testament, they had to wait. All right. And upon Jesus' resurrection, they rose up. All right. Because the promise has now been fulfilled. The promise can only be given upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But let me just read two more scriptures. Two scriptures. Galatians. Two scriptures. Galatians chapter 3. Please give me another 5 minutes. We'll wrap up today. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. Please read this together, okay? Now we know the promise. You know, there's a promise that they were waiting for. These men did not receive the promise and all. The promise was given to Abraham, to Noah. Though they had faith, they believed in what Jesus would do. But let's read more. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Now look at it. He says, that blessing of Abraham. All right. Don't forget, there's a colon or there's a semicolon there. It explains further what it means by the blessing of Abraham. He says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Now, when you read the promise of the Spirit there, read it as, don't say that the promise of the Spirit or the promise that the Spirit gives. No, it is the Spirit that was promised. All right. So what was promised? It is the Spirit that was promised. All right. And it is through faith. So now, the blessing of Abraham is not money, is not houses, but what? This Holy Spirit in the life of a man. And that is what we have today in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's read some more. Just one last bit. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 verse number 13. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 13. Look at it again. It says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also you believe. Look at it now. Look at it. There's a clue there. You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. All right. Again, when you read, don't read it as the Holy Spirit that gives promise. No, it is the Holy Spirit that was promised. All right. So Paul explained the Holy Spirit to us as the promise of the Father. Jesus said that much. I sent to you the promise of the Father. And in saying that, it was referring to the Holy Spirit. So we have the Holy Spirit today. The reason the man must understand, all right, who the Spirit of God is, because that's the promise. That's the difference. All right. That's what makes for eternal life. So when you say eternal life, all right, it is talking about the Holy Spirit in the life of a man. Read from Titus chapter 1 verse 3. It says that, you know, eternal life that God promised from before the world began. That eternal life is the Holy Spirit within the man. Hallelujah. All right. Acts chapter 13 verse 32 and 33. It says that the promise that God made unto our fathers, he had now fulfilled in that he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And we know what that means. All right. It is upon the resurrection of Jesus Christ that the Holy Spirit was given. Hallelujah. All right. So the promise that was made to the men, to the saints, I keep calling them men, all right, because there are men of the Old Testament that did not believe. But we have saints of the Old Testament. We have saints of the New Testament. So if I ask this question as we wrap up, what's the difference between the saints of the Old Testament? All right. And what is that one? There are many. Yeah, we can count a couple of them. But based on our study today, the difference between the saints of the Old Testament and we, the saints of the New Testament, who can help us? The promised Holy Spirit, all right? The promise, and what's that? I've said it anyway, I'm just trying to drive it in very well. What is that promise? The Holy Spirit. Anyone that has believed Jesus today has got the Spirit of God in him. And Jesus told us, how long will that Spirit dwells, abide with the man? Forever. That is the eternal life. That's what makes for eternal life in the believer. Hallelujah. All right? Caris, you asked a question the other time. Did I answer that question? All right. So we've answered some questions today. They're wrapping up. I'm going to pray now. Gods, all right, sons of God, all right, we are sons of God, angels and sons of God. Jesus is the Son of God, and by identification, we are sons of God as well, because of what Jesus did. God, all right, refers to judges. There's only one God, all right, in this world, praise God. And we've talked about the men of the Old Testament. Can the law produce salvation? We've seen that. And we've seen what's that promise, all right, that was given to the men of the Old Testament. It is the Spirit of God that you and I carry today. And the reason we are not going to slow down on our study and engagement with the Holy Spirit, because that's all we have. That's the difference. That's the difference. All right. When we learn of it, we learn to receive from the Holy Spirit. So that even the little ones, the 7, the 8, the 9, the 10, the teenagers among us, you will hear clear-cut prophecies from them. Is that not what the Bible says? Your sons and your daughters, the young men, says they will prophesy. All right. Why? Because it will pour his Spirit upon them. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. We give you praise because you are a good God. Thank you because you are, thank you for your word that has come to us today. Further deepening our understanding of your nature, of your dealings. We thank you because we now know who we are. Angels, they are our ministering spirits, and we engage and they work for us because we are heirs of salvation. We have supernatural results. We have angelic assistance in all that we do in the name of Jesus. We give you all the praise today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.